This is another episode of Bothered AF.
This is a fucked up episode of Bothered AF
this time. Because today we're going to talk about some fucked up shit. Ed Gein. Let's do this. All right, so today is kind of like, I guess you could say, a trial for us, and we're just going to see how it works out, because normally we split up our episodes, and I'll research a certain chunk, and then Ash will research a certain chunk. Yeah, it's usually
mapped out as, like, you're going to cover the intro, or the murders, or...
Yeah, so that's normally how we do it, but this time we thought it would be cool for us to both just
rehearse the same story.
All of our research.
Did I say rehearse? Research the same story?
Yeah, rehearse it. I mean, I don't...
Pregnancy brain has been real today. My mom is... Oh, she heard me say so many weird things.
Because, I mean, I don't rehearse any of this. I just, like, on the go, you know? Yeah,
I type it all out, and I'm like, okay, good, I've got everything. I read through it, like, once.
Yeah, I do like my show notes, but that's like, about... That's about it. Yeah, so we just decided that we were going to research everything and then just kind of throw it all together. So I think today is going to be more of like a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that's a good way to put it.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think it'll be good. So, jump right in?
Yeah.
Because there's really nothing going on.
There's nothing to talk about.
So.
Like, cool. Shit's still closing. No.
We're still in somewhat quarantine.
Yeah. I work a lot.
I don't. It's kind of nice.
It's kind of fucking terrible for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you sip that tea or that energy drink at, what is it, 11 o'clock at night?
I know. It's 11 o'clock. I'm drinking an energy drink, and today, I guess that's just the drink of choice. Could have gone for whiskey, but I was really tired. So, and we're recording two episodes tonight, so I have to plan on being up for, like, at least another 3 hours.
Yes, because if y'all didn't notice, we didn't post an episode
last week. We're doubling up right now.
We are trying to hoard some episodes to make this work. Why won't this fucking thing turn back on? Oh, no.
It hates you right now. Oh, no. We might have just had a problem.
Oh, good lord.
Just kidding.
Fixed it.
There's not a problem. So, I guess we're just gonna, like, jump right in.
Yes.
Ed Gein. So...
Edward Theodore Gein.
Yeah, exactly. Born August 27th, 1906 in La Crosse County, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
He was also known as the Butcher of Plainfield and the Plainfield Ghoul.
That one's my favorite one.
The Plainfield Ghoul.
I love that one.
Anything with the word ghoul is pretty good. He is most famously known for grave robbing the bodies of women who resembled his mother and then dismembering them and making items such as skin suits, bowls, lampshades out of their body parts.
Oh, yes. I have a full-on list of different things that he made. It was
kind
of gross. But interesting. Interesting at the same time.
It is really interesting. I feel like taxidermy, but...
But worse.
Not. Like, similar,
yeah,
but different.
Yeah, definitely similar. Yeah, I would similar, say it's similar
different.
Quality.
Yeah.
You're just not stuffing them with anything.
And then he was also convicted of one murder, confessed to two... And then was possibly linked to some other missing persons. And like we talked about in our last episode, he did inspire quite a few Hollywood characters, such as Norman Bates, Leatherface, and Buffalo Bill. So, yeah. Did you want to get into his early life?
I have just a little bit about it with like who his parents were and everything. Actually, I have kind of a lot, but we'll go back and forth on this. His parents were George Philip and Augusta Wilhelmine Gein. Ed also had an older brother named Henry George Gein. It's said that Augusta hated her husband because he was an alcoholic and he couldn't keep a job. George, the father, had attempted several different types of jobs and careers over the years, like being a tanner, which I tried to Google to see what that meant.
A tanner?
A tanner. I believe it physically means, like, tanning skin. Not like, you know, nowadays girls are, like, tanning and stuff, but, like...
It's
like animal hide skin,
it's kind of funny that you say that because
it comes into play with him later.
Yeah, he would literally, like, take the women home and then tan their skin so that he could skin them easier.
And that's the only correlation that I could find with anything. So I was like, okay, he's a tanner. So I imagine he picked that trait up from his father. I'm thinking it had
somewhere
to do with
along the line.
Skinning animal hides and, like, tanning the skin so that way he could fashion them into things. I don't
know. Yeah, okay, okay.
But in addition to that, he was also an insurance salesman, a carpenter, and for a short time he owned a local grocery store that he ended up selling. And he moved the whole entire family to live in total isolation on a 155-acre farm.
That's a big farm.
Located in Plainfield, Wisconsin. Shout out to my bestie Julia. What's up, Wisconsin cheeseheads? Augusta, herself, the mom, she was very religious, super strict on not having any outsiders influence her two boys, to the point where she would punish them, like legitimately punish her kids if they made any friends at all. Ed was the only one who ever left the farm to attend school, and the rest of the time he was doing chores on the farm. And she taught her kids that the world was such a super scary place.
Well, because she was, like, super, super religious,
insanely religious,
too.
Yeah. But drinking was an instrument of the devil, so bad that the dad was doing it.
Yeah, clearly.
And that all other women in the world, I believe it, at the quote that I read said, aside from herself, were naturally immoral and were all sex deviants. And so she would read from the Bible to them every single day and would typically cover verses about murder, death, and the divine retribution.
Wow.
Retribution.
She's real soft.
Oh, she is. Excuse me. As a youngster, Edward was shy. His peers later recalled that he was a little quirky, and they would see him randomly laughing to himself while he was in class.
Creepy.
Creepy, definitely. Or, you know, maybe he's just a little autistic. People do that. You think of some things. I think of things, and I laugh to myself sometimes.
Yeah, I feel like this is a little different.
Definitely.
I know that you're thinking to yourself and the laughs that come, because I've witnessed a few of them. Pretty sure it's very different than the Ed Gein laughs, but...
But this guy was still really, really smart. Apparently, he was one of the best students in the class, despite being totally sheltered socially. Like, he was just a really good student.
Okay, that's good.
Do you have... You want to talk about his dad dying and everything?
Yeah, so in 1940, Ed's father died of heart failure that was related to his drinking problems.
Of course.
And then he was 66 when that happened. After that, both of the brothers kind of began working odd jobs around town to keep the family afloat. During this time, Ed really started to openly display an odd attachment to their mother that Henry found to be really, really weird. And one of the other funny things that I realized that Ed would do was he would babysit.
I was gonna say, as a 33-year-old man, he would babysit for the neighbors.
Yeah, like, no, they would, like, the brothers would just work, like, odd jobs, like, as handymen.
Which everyone did comment, and they were like, oh, they're very reliable boys.
Like, yeah, like, no one really said anything bad about either of them. But I do think it's just, like, super weird that he was, like, a grown man, like, babysitting. And that was something that didn't really end there. Like, he was
still... Unless it's, like, grandpa or brother or uncle, it's,
like... Yeah, like, it's weird. I wouldn't have a man babysit my son. Like,
no offense, guys, but no.
Yeah, no offense. It's just kind of weird. I don't know. So, yeah, brother starts to realize that, Ed is, like, super attached to their mom, and I had read in a few different places that Henry would, like, talk really poorly about their mother, and whenever he would...
Try to egg him on.
Yeah, like, to egg him on, and every time he would say something, Ed would get, like, super weird and super, super defensive about the whole thing, so I don't know.
He would be, like, really upset and super shocked at, like, what he was saying, and... Like, it was almost like Henry was intentionally trying to hurt his feelings.
Yeah, and it honestly, like, that kind of brought to light, like, the Norman Batesy side of it, and it really did make me wonder if there was some sort of, like, an incestuous relationship there.
You know what? I was trying my hardest to find something like that,
but... I couldn't find anything.
I think maybe it could have been from his point of view with it, but with how hardcore religious she was, I just...
I've heard of really religious parents, like, you know, molesting their own children.
Oh, well, then my whole thought process went out the window right now. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, maybe not even necessarily, like, an incestuous relationship, but, like, she hated the dad, so obviously she's not getting, like, a certain kind of love at home. So you never know, like, even if she just, like, molested him. And maybe that's kind of what caused, because he had a clear obsession with her. Absolutely. And we'll get into that more. But yeah, like he was obsessed with her. So
for sure, for sure.
But I couldn't find anything anywhere. I watched like 6 different YouTube documentaries.
Me too.
Went on like a ton of different websites, and I couldn't find anything that actually like corroborated that theory. But I know a lot of people like wonder, especially. I mean,
it's probably just something that we all suspect.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things where it's kind of just like, oh, come on, this had to have happened, and it's like. You don't have physical proof that it's.
But you're like.
But you're like.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like. I mean, obviously, it's not going to come out now.
Not now.
But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, it had come out. So, yeah, that happened. In May of 1944, the brothers were burning marsh on the property when a fire began to, like, rage out of control. The fire department had to come and put it out. After this, Ed had noticed that Henry was nowhere to be found and reported him missing.
And so this is all, like, right after he had met another woman and was supposed to go and... Henry was supposed to go and move in.
Yeah, he had met, like, a new woman. She had had... I want to say she had had a child or kids.
Her husband... They were divorced?
Yeah.
She and her husband divorced. She had 2 kids, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was going to go live with her and the kids. And so he was just...
He was planning on moving away.
Actually, I believe at this point... He was in the process of moving out.
Yeah.
And it was just Ed and his mom.
It had already...
Just the beginning of him.
It had already,
mom.
Like, started.
But he would still come and work on the farm.
Yeah. And so, apparently, they used to burn marsh, like, regularly. And then the fire got out of control. He realized he was missing. So, they formed a search party. And after a while, they found Henry face down on the ground. They had said that he had actually been dead for a while. And they attributed his death to heart failure. Years later, though, a biography on Ed came out, and it stated that in Henry's autopsy that they found bruises on his head, and it was later believed that Ed had actually killed him.
Yes, because I thought it was noteworthy that there was no burning on anywhere on his clothing, not on his body, nothing.
There wasn't anything on there, and he had been dead since before the fire had actually started. So.
And supposedly he only went missing during the fire.
Yeah, so I thought that clearly, that was, like,
Ed's
a little weird.
Off. You're talking shit about mom. I'm gonna kill
You're leaving. Like, I'm bitter.
Yeah.
So.
Bye.
That happened. And then late 1945, Ed's mother passes away. And after her death, he left, which is, like, really, really weird. Side note, she died after she'd had 2 different strokes.
Yes.
So she had one, survived through it.
He took care of her. It was his life mission to take care of her.
To, like, revive her and everything. And then she ended up having another stroke. And that was when she died.
Do you know the whole story about why she had her second stroke? It was kind of fucked.
Yes. Okay. Let's see.
Dog dying.
That's what, okay, so.
But that's not the reason why.
They had gone somewhere, it was a friend's house, right?
Somewhere, or they were getting something for the farm or something like that.
Yeah, and they went to their friend's house, and they saw, like, the man that was there, like,
brutally beat his
dog to death.
Yeah.
And then she had, like, had an episode.
She was upset because the woman that was there at the house
wasn't married to him.
She called the girl a harlot. Yeah, she called her a name, and she was, like, all worked up. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
lady,
so she
down.
Basically
Busy
gave
body?
Herself a stroke because she was so worked up about the fact that...
I would be worked up about the dog.
The dog.
I don't give a shit what you're doing, you know.
Yeah, no,
doors.
She was upset because a woman was there, and they were not married. Yeah, so that's how... She basically...
She gave herself her second stroke and then died shortly after.
Yeah. So, fucked up, right?
Yeah.
So, Ed is clearly, like, insanely devastated, and he basically kept her room and, like, her things in, like, a museum-like state, but left the rest of the house to get, like, disgustingly dirty.
Yeah, I saw
And let that shit, like, pile up. I heard that he was kind of, like, hoarding.
Total hoarder. He boarded off from what I read... He boarded off the upstairs, the downstairs parlor, and the living room, as well as her room. Anything that she was.
Yeah, and he kept
using.
It like in pristine
oh,
condition.
Yeah. It was like once they went back to the house and they found everything, and they took the boards off. It was like nobody had been in there since she had died.
Because no one had been. And then so after that, I'm just gonna. You want to skip ahead a few years then?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there anything you have for like in between?
No. The whole house was shit afterwards. That's basically covered everything that you really need to know about his whole entire past. And then what the way the rest of the story goes is
like an we unfolding.
Have to jump ahead to really find out about everything else. So we're gonna definitely jump in to 1957 now.
Yes.
This is a whole, 10 years, something later?
Yeah.
I think it's more than that.
45, 50, 12 years later.
Yeah, 12 years later.
So, 12 years later.
Still in Plainfield.
I got two different dates. November 16th, and then I also read the 18th.
I have 16th.
You have the 16th?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, November 16th of 1957, hardware store owner Bernice Warden is reported missing.
Keep in mind, Plainfield, Wisconsin, in 1957, very small. This is legitimately the only hardware store.
Yeah, it's like a teeny tiny little place. So it was stated that the store truck had been seen leaving the building around 9 a.m., but she hadn't been seen. No one was super worried to it because it was hunting season, and they figured that she was, like, out hunting deer, and it wasn't, like, super weird. 5 p.m., her son, who was actually a sheriff, enters the store to find an open cash drawer and bloodstains everywhere. He tells investigators that Ed was the last one in the store the night prior and that he was planning on coming back first thing that morning to pick up some containers of antifreeze.
Which I believe he did because he had proof of it with the receipts.
Yes, that was how they were able to figure out that Ed was the last one in there because he had left the receipt that she had handwritten to Ed out on the register.
Mm-hmm.
So then later that evening, Ed was arrested at a grocery store, and authorities basically head out to his farm to search for Bernice.
And this part sucks.
When they got there, upon searching, they found the brutal crime scene in one of the barns where she had been shot with a .22 caliber rifle, decapitated, hung upside down by her legs, and was basically gutted like a deer.
And, yeah.
And they did say that all of the mutilations had come after her death.
I
so, like,
see
he
that
shot
too.
Her and killed her and then decapitated her and gutted her. So, yeah. I didn't write down anything about the artifacts because there was, like, a super, super long list.
I wrote down the whole list.
I have to handwrite my notes again because I got nails.
I copy-pasted the whole list and paraphrased.
So I will let Ashley get into it. But now, basically, at this point, they're searching the farm and the home.
And it's like, what fresh hell did we walk into? Holy crap.
Exactly.
This is not a one-off killing. This is so much worse.
Yeah. So, like, at this moment, they don't know that he's, like,
been doing
grave
this
robbing
stuff for years.
And doing it. They're just like, oh, my God.
What is
all of this? So let's talk about the things that they
yes.
found.
So my list is provided by Wikipedia because I don't want to get in trouble for plagiarizing, but I copy-pasted and then paraphrased, so deal with it. There were several whole human bones and fragments of bones. There was a full-on waste basket that was made of human skin.
Ew.
Human skin coverings for several chair seats that were in the house. Skulls on each of his bedposts, which I think is kind of badass, just not real ones, please. Several female skulls, some with the tops sewn off. Bowls made from human skulls. And I see this shit on Instagram all the time where they're like, oh, get your Halloween decor. It's a bowl. And people are eating, like, cereal or spaghetti out of it. And I fucking want, like, a full set so I can set up my dining room table and have a bowl at every at every little chair.
Eddie could have given you one.
He probably could have given me a lot. He probably would have used my own head for it.
Given you a
few. But
actually, not unless you resembled his mother.
Oh,
so.
I don't believe I do. Thank God. But
we'll get into that
I would
in a few
love
minutes.
To have them. I just, I would, you know.
Let, prefer that they're fake.
Let them be BPA free and not real
free.
Human.
Fucking Ashley.
Thank you. There's a corset made from a female torso skinned from the shoulders to the waist. Leggings made from human skin. Masks made of the skin from the female heads. A woman who is later identified as Mary Hogan, it's her face mask in a paper bag, as well as Mary Hogan's skull in a separate box. Bernice Warden, the woman who we were just looking for, her entire head was in a burlap sack. As Shauna said, she was decapitated. And Bernice's heart was also found in a plastic bag in front of Gene's stove, which makes me feel like he was planning on eating it. Yeah.
See, I didn't find anything anywhere.
Didn't see anything.
Said that he... Well, then...
But I'm thinking this...
I mean, because it's a fresh...
Yeah.
Sorry, fresh.
Well,
fresh.
I mean,
it's a fresh body.
Compared to...
He's used to, like, grave robbing women who have already been dead. Obviously, like, if they've only been buried 2 days, they've been dead at least a week.
Yes.
So, he's more used to that.
There's Mary Hogan, who we haven't talked about yet, but we just briefly mentioned. She's the only other known murder that he's committed. So, for all we know, maybe he did eat part of her, and he just never talked about that. I think there's a little bit of possibility.
And,
like, we can still speculate
on that.
Like,
the question.
Yes. 9 vulvae were in a shoebox. A young girl's dress and the vulvas of 2 females who are believed to have been about 15 years old, which are the youngest ones, his youngest victims, which I'm like, how do they look like your mom if they're 15 years old?
So that makes me wonder if that could be the missing persons that he's also kind of linked to. Because they did say that there were quite a few other missing persons in the area that they felt could have definitely been linked to him, but he didn't, own up to any of it.
I also didn't do any other research to see, like, who the missing people were, if they were women or not,
or what.
But definitely. A belt made from female human nipples. Just a bunch of nipples all the way around. I don't know, I thought that was funny, but sorry, it's not. I know it's not funny, but I thought it was funny. 4 noses, a pair of lips on a window shade drawstring, which totally gives me an idea for, like, a resin art project, just saying. I need a pull string for my fan. A lampshade made from the skin of a human face, also another idea that I've wanted to do for a long time. And fingernails from female fingers. Which I don't know if you can tell if they're male or female fingers, but apparently Wikipedia knew that
they
were female.
They knew that they were females. One other thing that I will put in there, because I didn't write about it, but I know about it. After he had been arrested, there was, like, a young man that used to come over to his house and told authorities that Ed had shrunken heads.
I had that somewhere in here. I think it was further down.
But it wasn't actual shrunken heads. He told them they were shrunken heads from the Philippines.
From the Philippines, yes.
From a cousin that was in the war, like, overseas. But they were actually faces.
Like, he peeled the skin off of
people's bodies.
And, like, fashioned them into shrunken head size.
Yeah, so those were, like, legit
faces. Those were other victims
faces, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, so gross.
It's fucking disgusting. But... So I'm a little, I don't know, this part I don't feel like they handled it correctly, but I'm also, like, a morbid believer in, like, keep this shit or, hold on. So these items were photographed at the state crime lab and then destroyed.
Yeah, I had that down here too.
I feel like, not for me, you know, I like going to museums and stuff and seeing stuff. Morbid curiosity, I would have been interested in it, had the family, like, signed a release form and everything and been able to tie it. But why would you not put them back with the bodies and rebury the parts that belonged to the bodies that were in the grave?
I think a lot of it had to do with the time that this had happened, and this wasn't really, like, a thing the way that it is now.
You can easily tell DNA-wise, like,
yeah, like,
this is the nipple of this person.
I mean, we haven't talked about it, but, like, I mean, DNA testing is still, like, fairly new.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still, like, finding
still
stuff from cases,
stuff.
Like, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, because DNA evidence has just been so hard.
Well, the very first episode that we ever had took place in, like, 82, and that was in the very, like...
That's, like, the very beginning stages of, like, DNA testing. So, and then I know that when he was taking police to, like, graves and stuff, I think that they were only able to legitimately identify 3 of them.
Yeah,
but he had grave robbed from several different cemeteries. Yeah.
9.
So, I think that that also probably had a lot to do with it. And I'm sure that they just, like... didn't want that stuff around.
I'm also surprised, now that we're talking about it, I'm surprised that he was able to show them where he was, because he told the authorities that he was in, like,
a dazed
state when he was doing this. So how are you going to be able to recall? If you were really in a dazed-like state, how are you going to be able to recall exactly where the bodies were, what you did with everything? Like, And I was saying, I had written on there, there were about 30 different, or there were about 40 different nocturnal visits. And about 30 of those, he said he came out of the days while he was still in the cemetery and left the grave without actually taking anything.
Yeah. He didn't leave every single visit.
Because could you imagine if he actually, like, did? How much more stuff he would have?
I know. So, during questioning, Gein admitted to killing Bernice Worden as well as Mary Hogan back in 1954. He had begun to tell investigators about how shortly after his mother's death, that was when he had begun grave robbing the bodies of young women who resembled his deceased mom. Mm-hmm. So that's just, like, super creepy. And
definitely. Which I also want to know, does that mean that he was scoping out the funerals as they were happening or going to the wakes? Because how do you
I'm
know
sure
they look like
your because
mom?
If he was
or just everyone looks
well,
like
well, because
mom.
He was grave robbing them like 2 or 3 days after they were buried.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he had
you're not
to
just
have something.
Walk looking around for a fresh grave.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the headstone or anything, and be like, I hope this is a woman.
Obviously, super, super obsessed with his mom because the like body, the skin suits that he was making, he wanted a full woman suit so that he could transform into his mother.
I have quote, he could become his mother, dot, to literally crawl into her skin.
Yeah,
unquote.
Like.
That was
that's just so
that
gross.
Gave me the biggest heebie-jeebies. I was like typing it out and I had it all big and bold and highlighted and I was like, let's not be dramatic, but
but yeah, so he would go out to the graves a couple days after they had been buried. He would grave rob them, then he would take their bodies home where he would tan their skin and then dismember them.
But
so,
he was nice enough to put back like jewelry and the rings and a couple of
yeah,
the body parts.
He would leave certain things, and I know that when they went and scoped out like the graves that he had said that he had robbed, they had found things that he had left like in the coffins,
and it was
too.
Exactly like how he described it.
Yeah,
he was like, no, I left a crowbar in this one, or
yeah,
I left this one.
So
it was,
he definitely wasn't lying.
Well, and apparently he wasn't having sex with them either because he said they smelled too bad.
Yeah, so that leads me to believe that he had tried to at least once.
You have to at least attempt it if you're going to be like, no, they just stink. Like, mm-mm.
Yeah, like, because he was like, oh, no, I didn't do that. But, like, you had to have
sure he did.
Tried it. Or maybe when he killed Mary Hogan, the first one.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, back in, was that, like,
1954,
I think so. Yeah, so,
it
I mean, maybe
Bernice,
maybe
yeah.
He tried to, like, have sex with her, like, after or something like that. I mean, that's, like, a more of a fresh body.
Well, it seems like he killed her. Kept her long enough to be able to do more with her body parts and her skin, so...
Yeah.
Who knows at what point he attempted it, if he even did, you know.
Yeah.
He's not here to sue me for saying this, so...
For defamation.
Right?
Defamation of character.
He's fine.
Yeah, so basically that's when he would take them back to his house, tan their skin, dismember them, make all of the bowls and...
Nipple
lamp
belts.
Shades and nipple belts that he had wanted... So gross, honestly. So then after this, he became a suspect in a few other missing persons cases, especially after he had been so vocal about everything that he had been doing. And then while in questioning, he got into an altercation with a detective named Art Schley. That's what
yeah.
I thought. Okay. With Art Schley. And it ended in Ed's head being smashed against the wall. Which I could understand, because maybe he's, like, really fucking upset about what they've seen and, like, what's going on. But due to this incident, Ed's original confession was considered inadmissible in court.
Yes, so he's admitting to killing Mary Hogan and everything else was just, sorry, we can't use that now.
Yeah.
Totally pointless.
All because of that. That's what had happened. And before Ed's trial, this officer actually died of heart failure. And his close friends had all said that it had to do with the stress and trauma that the case had put on him. Because they said that he was extremely traumatized by everything that he had to have seen. Like, at the crime scene and everything that had happened
yeah,
after.
He was only 43 years old. It was really
yeah, like, you
sad.
Don't die of heart failure at 43.
No. And he was saying, one of his friends had been quoted as saying that he was... the victim of Ed Gein, surely as if he had butchered him.
Yeah.
Because of...
That
is such a screwed up scene to go and see. And then to have to go and relive it with all of the paperwork and then, you know, thinking about having to testify with it, like,
yeah, like it just put like a lot of stress on him,
the whole entire court, so they can hear everything. It's shitty.
So I guess now we can get into the trial.
Yes.
Unless you have anything else.
No, that's pretty much where I was off. I left off that during the trial, Gene confessed to killing the two women. Mary Hogan was a tavern owner. She went missing in 1954. Like we mentioned, authorities found her house found her head in his house. But Gene claimed that he didn't have any memories of her death at all. But he also confessed to killing the Plainfield hardware store owner, like we mentioned.
That one was, like, a little weird, too, because he confessed to killing her, but he later had also said that he didn't know whether he had done it purposefully or on accident, because he had said that he was holding a rifle and he was loading a bullet into it and it went off and he had shot her. And so he didn't know, like, consciously whether he purposely did it or if it was, like, an accident.
I think this was probably another one of his little, like, dazed and confused, like, states where he was just like, no, I don't think I did that. I don't recall doing that, but I'm sure it was intentional in the moment.
Yeah. So that was a thing.
But I've got the whole entire issue of him being initially found unfit to stand trial, and he was confined to a mental health facility in 1968. He was found guilty but legally insane of the murder of Mary Warden.
What year did you say?
Did I say Mary Warden? Is that her name?
Yeah.
No, it's Mary Hogan. I totally butchered their names. Oh, I did not mean to say Bernice it like Warden. That.
I was like, who? What year?
I said butchered their names. That was fucked
You're
up.
Terrible.
That wasn't intentional. Sorry. I'm not trying to be, like, mean and, like, say people's names incorrectly, but Mary Warden sounds fucking familiar.
I know. But, yeah, so in 1957, after everything had happened, he had pled not guilty by the plea of insanity, and then he went to, what was it? Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, and that was where he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and they said that he was definitely mentally unstable and wasn't fit to stand the trial. And then that's when, skip to 1968, now doctors have determined that he is mentally competent to withstand trial, and that was when the proceedings began in November of that year.
Yeah.
The trial only lasted a week and was held without a jury. So that was a thing at the time. Even though he admitted to killing Mary Hogan, he only went on trial for the murder of Bernice Warden. And he had, like we had just talked about, he had said that he really had no clue of whether it was an accident or whether it was intentional.
And I believe part of the reason why he didn't go on trial for the Mary Hogan thing was because he had no recollection of what happened to her, supposedly. And so it was like, well, how do we try somebody? At the time, you're like, how do we try somebody for something that they don't even know?
Yeah.
We
like,
have proof.
He's not giving
the
out the information.
Yeah.
So they had nothing really to go off of.
In addition to him being mentally unfit and unstable and so all over the place.
So he was found guilty, and then a second trial was held for his mental health. After district attorney and doctor's testimonies, they came to the conclusion that he would be considered not guilty by the plea of insanity and should spend the rest of his days in a mental hospital. And, yeah, then
he died.
He died at Mendota Mental Health Institution on July 26, 1984, at the age of 77 due to respiratory failure that was linked to lung cancer.
I had liver cancer, but...
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, respiratory failure would be, like, it would make more sense if it was lung cancer.
Well, it's my notes... I don't know why I even gave a shit about this. I don't, but liver cancer and respiratory failure.
Huh.
Like, it was separate, which I was like, ha ha, you had both.
I think he had a few different things.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was a drinker, like his father.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. So, after his death, his possessions, along with his property, were intended to all be auctioned off. But the week before this was supposed to happen, the house was burnt down.
Yep.
Yep. They said that a fire that was set by a cleaning crew that was near the house is what caused it. But after further investigating, it looked more like arson because the fire that the cleaning crew was actually doing, the coals that they had had over there, it showed that they hadn't burned from that area all the way to the house. So it made more sense that it was arson.
Well, I'm sure somebody whose family member was found in there.
Yeah, really well, upset. Especially because, like, townspeople were really worried that the place was going to become, like, a tourist attraction and that people were going to be there, like, all the time, making it, like, an eyesore. So I'm sure, like,
that they people just didn't want that.
It to be a thing.
And it's just sad. It's evil. You don't want to have that kind of stuff hanging around.
Yeah. I mean, I would have gone to it.
There are things that we've talked about where it's just, like, in one of our upcoming episodes that we've already planned, there's a house that I'm like, I'm going to go drive by it and go see in the backyard that shed is still standing.
Oh.
If you can't guess what I'm talking about, we'll tell you when it actually happens because I want to get pictures of it.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a good one.
That's going to be a really good one.
That's going to be a good one. So, yeah, the fire looked more like arson. Many, like I said, were worried about it becoming a tourist attraction. But in 1949, his Ford sedan that was used to move the bodies was actually auctioned off for $760, and it was purchased by a sideshow operator who would go on to charge customers 25 cents to see the car
at a fair. See, townspeople were worried about.
Yeah, they were worried about that exact issue because that's what he did. He bought the car and then he would charge people to see it.
It's like if somebody did that to OJ's car, I think that would still be a thing. To this day, people would still want to go and be like, yeah, I want to see the car that he sped off in. I want to see his Bronco.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like that could totally be a thing.
I mean, I would go see Ed Gein's old car.
So. I would totally go see Ed Gein's car. Like, why not?
I don't know. They try to get you at the fair to come see the world's largest alligator. Haven't gotten me with that one yet, suckers.
So then after he had died and everything, people would visit his grave and chip pieces of his headstone off. How cool would that have been, though? Like, to have a piece of Ed Gein's headstone? Like, that would have, I'm not going to lie, that would have been
pretty cool. Well, he was buried next to his family, so they were able to find him pretty easily.
Yeah, because it's, like, right there.
Yeah. Like, he's got his mom, his dad, and his brother all right there, so.
Yeah. But then the headstone was stolen in 2000.
And never, like, replaced.
Someone was, like, someone legit went and stole it, but then it was recovered the next year in Washington State. And then they decided not to put it back out. It was put in, where did they move the headstone to?
I don't know.
They recovered it, and then I want to say that they kept it, like, as an evidence kind of situation.
It wasn't kept in, like, a museum type
way. No, it was like, more like, of, like, evidence. Yeah. Like, it was put away and then never, like, put back out. The grave is now completely unmarked, but it's not unknown. So you could technically still go and find it, I'm sure, with a little bit of looking. You know
parents' names.
Yeah.
Go find them, and then you'll find a spot right next to them.
Exactly. Sure. So, yeah. It's not out there anymore. I would still go.
I would go.
Catch me in Wisconsin and I'll
should have gone to look for it. Actually, when I went to Wisconsin a couple of years ago to go visit my best friend, she took me to this cemetery that was kind of close by where she worked and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so massive and so pretty. And we just hung out there for a couple of hours. And she was just like, oh, over here is a spot. And she was telling me about, like, this person from, like, oh, God, it was, like, centuries ago or whatever, but she was believed to be, like, a witch who would murder children or, like, had something happen with her children. I don't remember the whole entire story, but she had an unmarked grave.
So why does it sound like The Conjuring?
I don't have any idea.
That sounds like The Conjuring.
Did that happen in Wisconsin?
Because I don't know. Maybe it did. Because that's
She's
one
about
of,
to Google.
That's
She's
one of the Ed and Lorraine Warren cases. Can you guys hear my nails? Click, 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 click,
now clicking. That she got her nails done, she's all clicky, clackety.
You know what? I'll look this up later, but that sounds very...
I'm going to have to ask my friend about it and just be like, hey, Julia.
That sounds very similar to, like, that one. And, you know, it's loosely based on the things that happened. Loosely based on that.
I mean, you never know. It could just be a fun thing that people tell each other, like, oh, did you know over here is this person?
Yeah, grave? Like just to
and creep. And it's really nothing, or
it's really nothing.
It's an animal just grave, to, like, or something creep
people
like that.
Out or whatever. Ooh,
when I went to Paris though, in high school, I went on a class trip. Mm-hmm. I did go to I will never remember the
catacombs.
Name of it. Yes, I did that. That was fucking badass. Saw all the old fashioned like people
that's
that you
so
read about
cool.
in the history book and their big like graves and
you're,
all the skulls.
Like
the
you
wall.
Did the catacombs, like the under pair.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's so cool.
That was neat, neat, neat. But we also went to this other cemetery, just a couple of us, and it was like, it had Edith Piaf, it had Jim Morrison's
uh-huh.
original gravesite and everything
okay.
in there. So it was just neat to walk around. That one was filled to the brim with massive stones and stuff. I love cemeteries. I just think that they're sad, of course. But
there's something kind of
peaceful. There's something a little bit drawing to them, especially when they're not all just flat plaques all over the floor, like
yeah, like old cemeteries,
the old
like
cemeteries
the ones that have mausoleums
so,
and
yeah.
stuff like that. Some of them are very beautiful. Ooh, I've got a couple creepy cemetery stories.
One of the best pictures that I have from my trip to Wisconsin was us laying on the floor in front of a mausoleum. You can't tell that it was in front of the mausoleum, but we were just laying there, just talking and hanging out. Hadn't seen each other in a couple years, trying to catch up, but we're laying
in
there
a cemetery.
And we're
just, yeah, this sounds like an early 2000s emo song.
You know, write it.
Laying on a cemetery floor
you
in front of a
song.
Mausoleum.
You write okay. the song and well,
and I'll find someone to
I was
play
like,
it.
Thought you find somebody to play it. I can't help you with that unless it's
okay.
on piano.
Okay, okay, I got this.
But
that yeah,
was
so
that
was
fast.
Again, everything that had happened that went on to inspire like a lot of Hollywood movies. Like we had said, Psycho was one of the earlier ones because I want to say Psycho came out in like 1965.
Black and white.
Maybe a little bit earlier. It's my absolute favorite movie, and I'm literally, like...
I don't know.
I'm working on someone doing, like, a full Psycho piece on my side, and I don't know. 1960. Okay, so it came out really shortly after everything had happened with Ed Gein, so that was probably the very first one that was truly inspired by it, especially because
oh, yeah.
of the mother obsession and all of that good
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, we had talked about in last week's... or 2 weeks ago's episode, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface, was derived a lot from Ed Gein. That one came out in, like, the early 70s. And then
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill had a lot of inspiration from him.
Yep, that was all about him.
Yeah, so that was Ed Gein.
Yeah.
It was shorter than we thought.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. You get what you get. Suck it up.
Oh my god, Ashley has my attitude today because I'm over here like, damn, sorry guys. And Ashley's like, sorry,
what?
Not sorry.
We both put in the same amount of work for this one and you still got a shorter episode this time. So, what? Don't know what to tell you.
Enjoy it.
Yes, I hope you did. I genuinely hope you did. And if you didn't, don't bother emailing us because I won't read it. Not about that. But if you have suggestions and you have nice things to say, please do email us, botheredaf@gmail.com.
Ashley doesn't read hate mail. I read hate mail.
I don't have time for hate. No, thank you. I got better things to do with my life.
Then read hate mail.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram. That's going to be bothered_AF. We
and
post stuff on there every time we do, like, our weekly post. We'll do, oh, yeah, we're going to upload, like, a little video of us in our intro tonight. So I'm going to try to do a little bit more stuff like that so you guys can see
yes.
that there are two actual people here.
Yeah.
You know?
And then a meme or two every once in a while if we see something interesting enough.
Yeah, I posted a really good one from Dahmer last week.
That one was funny.
Yeah, so... take a look at those. There is a Facebook page.
Yes.
Poorly run.
It's there.
Sorry. But it's there.
If
you guys start liking the page, I'll start posting more on it. Honestly, all you gotta do is just go onto Facebook, look up Bothered AF, and then the page will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like, if it starts to move a little bit more, I'll post updates, all that good stuff.
And at the very least, we're gonna post pictures from the Ed Gein story on our Instagram. If you want to see any of the interesting pieces
yes.
that he made.
We'll put some of the artifacts
I'll leave out
on there.
The vulva. But,
please,
you know,
thank you.
If I can find a good picture of the nipple belt, I don't know if there is one, but.
It'd be a good one to post.
It'd be interesting.
It would.
You know?
Yeah. But, yeah, so.
So that's going to be one of those ones I think I'm going to have to put, like, a, please be careful. Use your discretion when you look at this picture.
I think, like, Instagram does that for you now.
Do they do it automatically?
Yeah, okay. Like, that thing where you have to, like, press to uncover to, like, the thing. It, yeah. Yeah, I think they're doing that.
Oh,
now.
Okay, good.
Censorship, right? Is that what that's called?
I thought I was done with that once I was out of high school, but all right.
But apparently not. So, yeah, we're just going to, like, get off of here and, like,
go record
like, episode. Another episode. So, until next time.
Peace out, y'all.
Stay bothered.
Stay bothered.
Bye. Adios.